Vigo's having to operate even more attackingly now. He really hits that one. Oh, that is just sensational from Luis Vigo. Goes for goal. Oh, what a goal. Hiratoshi Nakata with a scream.
Cool. All right. Episode 21, after the flop.
Yeah.
I'm going to hand over reins to the true Hurt by Football fan, CJ. Please take the reins, sir.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 21, part two.
Yeah.
Seeing as we recorded one last week and I didn't work, Spotify, if you hear this, give us a recording of the Box to Box podcast. In this podcast, we have Kush, who technically now is Mr. Hurt by Football after his comments today in our Arsenal football chat. But
I'm not commenting. Thank you for the introduction again.
So, Kush, a measured Arsenal fan, and John Wick, the secret Palace fan in disguise who actually supports United.
Then he's so good.
Yeah, that's me.
Thank you both for attending. So just a quick overview of what we're going to chat about in this podcast. We'll start with really just two biggest games probably this weekend, Chelsea Spurs, and then we'll go on to United versus Newcastle for the Carabao Cup. So I'm assuming both of you would have seen the game, or at least some highlights, Chelsea against Spurs. I think the main question is, what's going on at Chelsea?
I'll let Wick take this one. I watched both games, but John, yeah, stage is yours.
Yeah, I watched the second half of the Chelsea game, and I think it's more of like a midfield issue from what I can see, because they just got overran. Like, it kind of reminds me of how Man United, where you could just create chances against Man United on the transition at will. Like, you knew you were going to get like a few solid good opportunities, and I think teams can play against that. Like, they just know if they can hold shape against Chelsea, eventually they will lose the ball and they will have like a nice sweet transition on them. And I think that's what, from what I could see in the second half, that's kind of what happened. And I think there could be an element of maybe when the midfield is giving the ball to their front three, it's just not working and it just keeps on coming back. But I think in essence, there's just a lack of a team structure that's working.
I was going to ask you, John, like, do you think that whole midfield issue is, like you've just pointed out about the forwards, is it because they don't have a striker?
I mean, how much can a striker really do? Like, I guess it's like, it depends what kind of style of play you have. If you have like a big man up top and that the ball sticks to them, then yeah, you could argue that it could be related to a striker. But I think there's an element of Chelsea not knowing what their best team is. Like, Ziyech sort of coming into the woodwork when he hadn't played much last season, I found a bit strange. And it just, you know, adding a bag of players to the team, I don't think that's going to be helpful. It's a bit like a Not Forest thing, where I think eventually now they know their best team.
It's interesting you say that, because there were only two new sign-ons, I think, started the game. Enzo, and I can't remember
Felix.
The other one, forgive me.
Felix.
Yeah, Felix. So, is, and obviously we're not trying to do the whole confirmation bias here, but is that Potter suggesting that either the players that he has now aren't fit for purpose in terms of they haven't picked up on what he wants them to be able to do? Or is that, do you think perhaps a pointed message, I'm doing what I can with what I've got, it's still not that great?
Well, the thing is, like, how much say did he have in those signings? Because it just feels like they were just buying a new player every other week. Did he actually want them? Has he had enough time to understand what he needs? Like, if you talk about like sort of Ten Hag, you feel like Man United have been backed in the sense that, you know, start of the season was terrible and he was just like, bro, I need a centre midfield. I wanted De Jong, so you get me the next best one. Actually, probably not the next best thing. You get me Casemiro. Get Casemiro. So it's like, I don't know if Potter's been allowed to get the pieces of the puzzle that he's trying to build. He's just got bare players.
Kush, do you have anything to say about that? In terms of, obviously, Aubameyang's at the club, and he's not at his peak, like he was at Dortmund or some of his years at Arsenal. When there is a striker in the club, surely you should be trying to play to, you know, someone's natural ability to get the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, Leon would probably disagree, as you know, John. He absolutely hates Aubameyang for some reason. Probably like he's seen the fall off. But Maz even said it, like we agreed on the chat like last week. If you have a striker of his caliber, I know he's not in form, but you've finally got a squad that has the passing range, has the technical capability to actually bring the ball into the final third. I mean, Kai Havertz isn't doing anything, and he hasn't done for a good 2 years, apart from the Champions League final, of course, asterisk. For me, it just feels like when he didn't select any of the new, obviously, two players, apart from Enzo, he has to play him. He's your record signing. And Felix is, you know, I would say arguably probably their best player at the moment. When he defaults to just using the players he had at the beginning, that to me showed me that he's just gone back to, okay, these are the guys that know the club better than anyone else. They know the structure. They know how to play. I will put my faith in a bit more experience. He played with, you know, Thiago Silva and Koulibaly at the back. Silva got injured within like 15 minutes. Chilwell, I would argue, is actually a better player than Cucurella this season, to be honest, and probably overall. And then you had Reece James obviously playing. Who else? Loftus-Cheek was a weird one. It just, yeah, Ziyech as well, like John mentioned. It just felt like he just defaulted to, okay, these are the guys I know. Sterling can play. I'll try and see if we can get a result out of this. And it still didn't work. So, yeah, I don't know what he's doing, to be honest.
Do you think part of it might be due to the fact that he keeps changing formation? Because I'm looking at articles from October last year, and it's talking about him being flexible in his formations, whether it's like 3-4-2-1 or 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, you know, to obviously depending on, I guess, either how he's set up or in phases of play, how he plans to take control of the game. Do you think that's confusing the players?
John, you can take that. I think you were going to say something.
Yeah, I think it can be confusing. I think if you have like a system, it takes time to embed a system. And, you know, the flexibility that he had with Brighton is from a well-drilled team that knew exactly what they wanted to do.
And I wonder if there's an element of like players that are quote-unquote better wanting to just be like, fuck it, I just want to play ball. Like, I don't really want to follow a system. Especially if it's not like working straight away. They just want to just, like, I just want to kick ball kind of thing. And I think there was an element of that happened with Manchester United. There was like rumblings that Ten Hag's approach was, they weren't feeling it at the start of the season. But then obviously if you commit, you can get the results like you see with Pep and stuff, and also with Klopp. So I think it's probably just like a sort of matter of time, to be honest, if he can get the team to play the way he wants. But yeah, chopping and changing at the start cannot be good for actually getting consistency in your performances.
I have a question to both of you, actually. CJ, maybe you can go first on this. But with these comments around the mental health stuff, like, what other managers ever done that? And we mentioned Klopp, we mentioned Pep, we mentioned Ten Hag, we mentioned Arteta. They've come up with some tough stuff, but it feels like he's in the washing machine, Potter. Like, it's done. That's how I get the sense of it. I don't know.
Obviously, I just want to say whilst we're on the podcast, it's not cool abusing anyone, least of all a man's family. They have nothing to do with what he's doing. I think a part of one of the issues I always had with him taking this job was, yes, he's good. Is he good enough to be at a bigger club? And again, that's with all respect to Brighton. I think he was still finding himself at Brighton. Chelsea, I think, has been a step up too soon at a time of a lot of turmoil. And I think for most people, regardless, that's uncomfortable. If you start a new job and the CEO or the company's just been sold, there's a new CEO, whatever, we want to know how that affects us. So, you know, in your day-to-day workings, you're doing one thing one week and then suddenly, oh, we don't do that anymore. So I can understand from that perspective how it can be quite a lot. But you would have known what you were taking on. It's not like he wouldn't have known, okay, they've just been taken over by, you know, a consortium. We've got Moneyball basically here, but he wants to do it with football. I think some of this, I don't discount that there's obviously a lot of mental strain and stress that comes with this job. But I also feel that he's weirdly getting some kind of grace. And I know he's getting slated every week. So it's not me acting like the media or people in football aren't talking about what he is or isn't doing. But I think he is getting a bye because, for instance, if this was a Liz Truss, there'd have been a lettuce by now. And the Daily Star or the Sport would have had a lettuce and be like, how many days left until Potter goes? Because I think he's been afforded an extra amount of time that I don't think another manager would have got. And he'll probably make it to the end of the season. I don't know about afterwards, because who wants to take over a club now?
Nobody. And I think we had this chat, and welcome to fellow listeners, Leon and Hussein from Kenya and the UK respectively. But back to your point, like, also he's not scoring goals, and that's the same issue he had at Brighton, right? Surely.
Yeah. I thought for so long that Potter's issue was, oh, if only he had a good striker. But I mean, I'm not saying Aubameyang's the best thing since sliced bread, but he is a striker. Felix is more of a number 10 rather than a number 9.
Call him an advanced forward if you want. That's what.
Yeah, he's not a pure striker, so he's not going to be the one scoring you goals like that. And I don't understand how, for all the buy-in, and okay, I know they're getting Kuku in summer, but where are the goals coming from?
That's the other thing.
No one's midfield, the wingers. I don't see goals in that team. So, yeah, I don't know. They're definitely not getting top four.
You never know. You just never know. But, yeah, I totally agree, man. I don't know if you listeners have any questions. Just drop it in the chat. But Mr. CJ is running this one today. But, yeah, please take the reins.
Now, you know, let's we've spoken about Chelsea for a while. Let's talk about Spurs, because this is their fourth win in four since Conte's had his... Was it his appendix or his gallbladder removed? I think it was his gallbladder. So Christian Stellini, as assistant manager, is obviously doing quite well. However, obviously, there's always going to be question marks around Kane as long as he's at the club. He's broken the record, Jimmy Greaves' record, the other day. He's obviously scored again at the weekend. So the fact that Skip scored, no, never mind. Anyway.
Skip past that.
It's terrible. Do you think Kane will get his move to a club? And if so, where? Because obviously we've just been talking about Chelsea needing a striker. Apart from United, where else do you think he could go if he does get a move? Feel free, Chris or John, to answer that.
If John is available, I think he can take it, but up to you. Crystal Palace as a destination for Harry Kane, maybe?
Yeah. I don't think he's good enough to play for Palace, to be honest, but we can take a look at him. I think with Kane, I just think he might just be done. Like, who really, apart from Man United, if they're like, we want to win now, and if the price is right, which I think Danny Levy would just make it mad, like, give us 150 and be like, nah. So I just think people will just get priced out, and he's just signed some mad contract anyway. So there's no real incentive to get him, I think, at his sort of age. So I really don't see what top team will be looking to pick him up. Maybe Chelsea. I
mean, they love spending money. Quickly interject and say that his contract expires in the summer of next year. So he's got about 18 months now. And I think that was the issue last season with City trying to get him, is the money was just mad. But you might be able to get him a bit cheaper now.
That's fair. I thought he signed a longer deal than that. So, okay. So I guess it's about Price is Right and what Spurs' ambition is. For
United, question. Say Qatar take over this summer and Tottenham ask for 150 million. Obviously, they know you have new money for Harry Kane. Would you take?
Yeah, I think I would, if that's not going to impede other transfers. If it's like, oh, we've got so much money, we might as well pick up Harry Kane, then yeah, why not? It would be stupid to say no. But I would prefer, and I think Ten Hag has the approach of having someone that's like younger, that can sort of become the Harry Kane rather than buy the complete player.
Fair enough. Personally, I think he's going to go abroad. I don't know. I don't know what your gut feeling is telling you, CJ, but I just don't see Tottenham selling him to someone within the league, unless they're coming with mad money. And I think the pressure, for example, Chelsea, everyone knows they've got the money, they've got the capacity to buy him if they really wanted to. Whether Tottenham would actually sell to them is a different story. But when money talks, money talks. And if it actually matches his ambition, then fair enough. I just see, maybe, I don't know, I feel like he's timeless, man. Like, I think he's going to be like a Lewandowski, where he can just stop moving about and probably just be the finisher. But probably Bayern Munich might be another shout, or even PSG.
My question about, well, in terms of United getting him, this is, again, open format, to be honest, because I'm intrigued to know how you both feel about this, is, as one of our listeners, Leon, has said before, Casemiro was a win-now kind of signing. You could also argue that Antony, to a degree, is a win-now signing, right? In that, okay, it might take him some adjustment time, but he's not bought as, you know, a project to suddenly come good, you know, in the next 2 or 3 years. He's very much a, you spend 80 mil on him type player. Same as Sandro, to be honest. So do you not think it makes sense, if you're trying to construct a team to win in the here and now, to get Kane?
It's about the balance, right? Because ultimately, I don't know, like Chris said, that he could maybe just become a player that just, like a Satlam or something, where he just plays later on in his career. But if you're thinking maybe 5 years ahead, I don't think Kane is the signing. But I think it just really matters. The main thing is like the money and how it affects other moves. Because, I mean, I would rather probably get like a player like Liao, who's playing at, I think, AC, than Kane, personally. But a proven Premier League striker, are you going to say no to that if you can spend 100 million easily and it not affect financial fair play and anything like that? And it's also your system. Does he press enough for what Ten Hag wants? I don't know. I don't know if that's a part of his game.
Interesting take.
Okay. Interesting. Thanks for your insights, sir, Mr. Wick. Okay. So obviously we've moved on from Chelsea and Spurs. Although I have one question, which is, do you think Spurs will continue this run and perhaps still make top four? Because they're in the top four now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they'll easily make it. I think Newcastle are just going to fade away. I think we predicted this in earlier episodes, probably Leon, when he used to actually make an appearance on the microphone. I think we said strong start, and then with the, I think, fixture pile up and kind of like chopping and changing, cup final, they just don't have I don't think they have it in them to kind of continue the momentum they had in terms of Newcastle. But stranger things have happened. I think, yeah, Spurs are pretty much, I think they can make top four quite easily for some reason.
They're fourth right now at 45 points. Newcastle have played 2 games less, but are on 41. Fulham have 39. And then it's Liverpool on 36 and Brighton and Brentford on 35. So the kind of 5 and 6 is Europa League, right? So it could be quite interesting. He's going to end up in 5th and 6th. And then obviously Europa Conference League, I think, is 7th. Also, it does depend on, you know, FA Cups and runners-up and stuff like that.
As much as, like, I hate Spurs, they just know, they have the players to know how to get to that stage. I mean, we saw it last season, obviously, at the expense of Arsenal, but they've just got that, probably the last 5 games of the season or 6, 7 games, they'll put a run together. You know, Conte's experience comes into the equation and Harry Kane gets you goals. I mean, what else do you want, you know?
Yeah, I think they'll grind it out, to be honest. They've got, like, a nice little run of games as well, like Wolves, Not Forest, Southampton, Everton, then maybe a tough one with Brighton. They do still have to play Man United and Liverpool. But apart from that, I think most of their games are like drawable, winnable. So I think they'll probably just grind it out.
Apologies to Leon. I called him out and he said he wasn't the one that told us about Newcastle. But one of us on this podcast said something about Newcastle. Hussein says, Kane is the main man at Tottenham. If he leaves, he needs a team where he can have that license to roam, drop deep. Should put Sol Campbell and move to a big club. Yep, I wouldn't say no to that. But then again, you know, what happens to Jesus? Do we need him? That's the question. But like you said, Premier League proven goal scorer. CJ, are you taking him at Arsenal?
No, because I don't see what he'd add to the team. I know that sounds stupid, right? But in terms of how he plays with Son, that makes sense for Spurs and how they play. We don't aim to counter the way that Spurs do. Spurs don't really try and, you know, have like be heavy on possession and kind of, you know, create chances that way. So I don't think his brand of football works unless he adjusted his game to be more about scoring and less about dropping deep. Like, that's always been my issue for him with England is when you need him in the box, he's not in the box because he's the one trying to cross the ball in for someone to score. So I don't think he'd work. I mean, he did grow up an Arsenal fan, but yeah, I don't know.
Leon says Spurs are definitely top four, Liverpool outside chance. I think Liverpool are done. To be after what I saw against Madrid, I don't see them doing it.
Yeah, but that's Madrid. Madrid are always going to make you look terrible because you go up again and they got five gears. So yeah, but to be honest, their midfield, yeah, they need them asthma inhalers until the end of the season, allegedly. Yeah.
I think it goes down to Spurs, Liverpool. To be honest, Newcastle potentially will be in the mix, but they just need to adjust after their loss in the Carabao Cup
and start scoring because Newcastle haven't really scored in a while.
Yeah, I'm surprised Isaac is not getting more game time. If
he looked really good yesterday, man, when he came on, I was very surprised.
Maybe, as Leon said yesterday, Wilson just wanted to do a tour of Wembley, just a little sightseeing tour. So maybe the whole Wilson thing, maybe put him in a shop window. I don't know, because there's definitely, well, I mean, we're on this topic anyway. So we've now moved on to, obviously, the Carabao Cup. Wilson yesterday and some of the other Newcastle players obviously would have known for some of them, that's their last chance to be on that stage, especially at Newcastle. So if that was a shop window kind of thing, or, you know, can they do something? Ultimately, some of them did fall short. But yeah, you know, Carabao Cup final, first trophy since ETH took over the club. Mr. Wick, you've had quite a lot of the mic time, so I'm going to let Kush answer this one. What were your thoughts on the game / performance from both teams overall?
Try summarize it, but in general, I think Newcastle created a lot of useless possession, as I call it. It's basically what I used to see Arsenal do with Wenger sometimes, just saucepan the ball, keep the ball, didn't do anything with it, and try their best at not shooting whatsoever at any given touch. Callum Wilson was atrocious. I mean, I respect what he's done in his game. He's tried to do, you know, his thing. He's a decent goal scorer, but it just showed yesterday that you need a level up from what he is. Isak, when he came on, was like really good. For some reason, he doesn't strike me as a player that can dribble, but he was like playing as a number 10, which is incredible. And United, just as I think mentioned in the chat earlier this week or last week, sorry, they just have the know-how of how to win. They have proven winners, Casemiro, Varane, De Gea, Rashford, you could even say to a certain extent. He's just got that thing where it's the X factor that you need. I was going to say Wout Weghorst, but I don't think he's won anything for like 10 years or something. But you get my point. It's the whole spine of the team that, you know how to get along the line. Ten Hag isn't a loser. He's actually won stuff at Ajax, so he knows how to kind of navigate cup finals and work around winning and momentum. So, yeah, I mean, it was kind of expected to some extent. It'd be really cool to see Newcastle win something. But, yeah, United took it, I would say, deservedly as well. But I wasn't terribly impressed by their performance. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You get the two goals, you win the cup. And, yeah, hopefully that's a good...
Mr. Wick, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think Newcastle showed a lot of threat in the first half, to be fair. I do think the goal that was scored was against the run of play in terms of, like, even if you have possession, you still do think every time Newcastle had the ball, I was nervous. It wasn't like they were just playing it around the back. They were. I think they had like loads of touches in Man United's box, actually, in the first half. But I think to your point, they just lack that kind of edge of certain players. Like, Wilson offered nothing. I think De Gea made like a pretty good save as well. So I think that game was whoever scored first would probably have won that game. And it was just fortunate that Man United scored first and then managed to score again very, very quickly afterwards.
I have to shout out Bruno G. Bruno G is class player. Like, I mean, he didn't win, but just his performance was like epic. I really,
I thought Saint-Maximin paid well as well, but then probably missing that slight edge that we're talking about that makes you go from like a really good player to a great player.
Thanks for that. That's actually quite a good point you raised, because yeah, I think Newcastle had the best chance of the game with the cross by Longstaff across the face of goal, literally just begging for someone to be on the end of that. And then obviously United attack, go up the other end, there's a foul given, and then they score from that. So yeah, football is a very, very fickle game indeed. After this final, does Casemiro deserve the hype? And do you think that Weghorst is probably your unsung hero? Well, United's unsung hero at the moment, because a lot of United fans were very upset when he was bought in January. But I feel he's quietly gone about proving everyone wrong. And also, he has allowed Rashford to shine a lot.
Yeah, I'm happy to start with that. So I think Casemiro is just that guy. Like, I think people are talking about how old he is, if he's going to have ambition after he's won like 5 Champions Leagues. But there's a reason why he's won 5 Champions Leagues. And I think, you know, sitting next to Modric, you probably just look like more of an average player, because Modric is just one of the best midfielders to ever play the game. And I think Casemiro has just added like another level to Man United. I've never really seen that before, where like one player can make such a difference. I think he's basically what we thought Pogba would do, even though they play different positions. I think we thought Pogba would elevate Man United to be able to just like kind of win games on his own. And like, I feel Casemiro is kind of doing that, but from a defensive perspective. Like, just to like highlight the Barcelona game, he made some incredible block. Insane block that would have made Barcelona go 2-0 up. And I think those are the things that kind of get unnoticed, is like the defensive side. And then he can pick out pass. He's scored 5 goals. I just think he's such a quality player, and he's raised the game of Man United because he's there. And when he doesn't play, you notice. And that's, I think, a big testament to him.
I want to say yes, but you know what? I'm going to be a nice guy today. I'm going to say yes, deserves all the plaudits he has, and I want United to enjoy this moment, because I don't want to come off as a hater. And he's got the quality. He knows what needs to be done. He's fixed a problem that they've had for ages. So, you know, props to them for actually buying him. But yeah, it's just going to be interesting to see what the next phase of this is going to be. So I think we keep mentioning it. Who is going to take over if he leaves? You know, maybe you guys will probably have the money to just buy someone else, like, I don't know, Tchouameni or someone like that from Madrid again. But let's see how it goes. And he's kind of solidified what they needed. He's kept them in the tight race. He scores goals. Best DM probably in the world, to be honest, I would say. Just given his track record, especially in Madrid, just the way he plays. But kind of a debate in the Premier League. I still feel Rodri has capabilities that nobody really looks at. And, you know, City aren't looking their best. Not really his fault, but that's just kind of my view. At the moment, Casemiro is the best in the world, but I don't know, over a longer period of time and what I've seen of Rodri in the Premier League, I think he's my favourite. I would probably rephrase that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And then I think on Weghorst, I think he had a decent-ish game, but you can tell that he's just not that guy. Like, every time he runs, he just looks so awkward. But I do love how he just gets in the mix. And he adds like another dimension where we can go long and it's less likely we're going to lose the ball because we've got a big man up top that's just causing a bit of chaos. And then there's bits of pieces where I'm like, oh, like the pass that he did for the Rashford goal, I was surprised that he made the right decision. And that was like almost like the perfect pass. And then I think he had a moment where he had a shot with his left and it was so tame and it was a bit frustrating. But then another moment, he forced a good save out of the Newcastle keeper. So he seems patchy, but you can't question his work rate. I don't think he's going to score many goals, but he adds it's kind of a bit like Firmino for Liverpool, where, you know, all the Liverpool fans were raving about him, but you're like, bro, does he score goals? And he doesn't score that many.
I do think it's quite interesting, though, that with Weghorst, his defensive attributes, I think, are, I'm not sure if highlighted is the right word, because he's always been known to, you know, do that. But there's definitely, like yesterday, I did notice him in the box, same way against Barcelona, you know, making tackles in his own penalty box. And obviously, the space that he provides by defenders away means it's easier for Rashford to get time on the time and space on the ball. So yeah, I think he's been a really good signing for you. I don't know whether you'll try and get him playing or not, or if it's kind of that type of striker works as a quick fix. And if it comes to looking for something more long-term, you'd look for something a bit more, I don't know if complete's the right word, it seems a bit dismissive of his abilities, but someone that's maybe not a target man in that regard. Obviously, I guess we'll see in summer, right?
Yeah, I would sign him, to be fair. I think he just adds like a different element. He's not going to start every game, but if a game is not going well, like why not throw him on and change the tactics a bit? I think he kind of reminds me of like Giroud, where like he doesn't really get his flowers, but in certain games, he's that guy.
Funny you mentioned Giroud. I read something yesterday, today, so now apparently he's looking for a move back to the Premier League and his club's interested. How much of that is agent talk? TBC. But yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think when he was at Arsenal, Giroud definitely never got the respect he deserved. And then went to Chelsea and got the Europa League title by beating us. Anyway, moving swiftly on. What next for United? Oh, hello there, Maz.
I wanted to put like an emoji middle finger virtually to Maz, but it's impossible because he said he couldn't turn up, and here he is. In the
Maz is here, our other resident United fan. This is great. Maz, I'm going to have to ask you to request to speak because you and Mr. Wick can probably answer my next question. So this is great timing. So what's next for United? You still obviously are in the FA Cup. You've got, I can't remember, you're playing someone next week. I can't remember who. Obviously still in the Europa League and maybe an outside chance of the league. So Weghorst was saying after the game, quadruple could be on. I am not saying that you are going to get the quadruple, by the way. I'm just merely stating that it was said by a player of yours. But what do you think is next for you? And whether that's for this season or potentially, you know, summer and next season, I'd just like to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, if you want me to go first. I think for me, ultimately, the Carabao Cup is the Carabao Cup. It's not like a big thing, but ultimately, the first cup that was available to him, he's won. And it gets rid of that, oh, can he actually win a trophy? The conversation's over, he's done it. And now it's about building the platform from the good work that he's done and continue it. I think he needs to strengthen the squad in certain areas. And like you just want to get closer. I was telling my friend, even if like obviously we're in the mix for the league, I think we'll probably fall short. But my thing is like you want to be, whatever happens, you want to be like minimum 10 points behind whoever finishes top. And that would probably be like the first time in God knows since probably Mourinho we've ever been that close to winning the league. And then you want to go, all right, can we be 3 points closer to winning the league next year? Or really be, can we be on the last day fighting for the league? So it's about the progress that comes next. And, you know, hopefully beat West Ham on Wednesday. That's a difficult game after like the fixture schedule, but we will try. And also with Europa League, it's about getting as far as you can. If you can get to a final, can you win another final? So I think it's just like, this is a good stepping board and almost like a nice milestone on the good work that Ten Hag has done. And even if we lost the game, obviously you'll get fucking bantered to shit, but you cannot deny the work that the man's done since losing 4-0 to Brentford.
Maz, you're, the stage is yours, man. We've been waiting.
You know, I'm a bit, yeah, you know what? He's done well. You've got to give Erik Ten Hag credit where credit's due. He has done exceptionally well since he's come in compared to where we were and the style of football playing and the players we had. The players are pretty much running the dressing room. Now he's come in, he's laid down the law, and you've got to give him credit where credit's due in that respect. But I think I don't want to get too carried away. We've been here before with Mourinho where we were winning trophies. We look good. But then next season we just collapse. So I want to give us another season before I start jumping on this bandwagon. I think I'm quite hesitant to jump on it straight away. But to be fair, like the only difference between him and Mourinho is that he seems to have got rid of the egos in the dressing room and people are playing for him now, for the club, more so than what they were under the previous managers. I think, yeah, going back to what John was saying, I think we've just got to ride it out now. I think I'm sure I said this to you guys, I'm just waiting for us to collapse anytime soon, because this run of games we've been on is just, it's just unheard of, I think, for any club to play every single weekend and midweek since the World Cup. I don't know what these guys are taking, but it seems to have just, they've just been carried on running, just riding on this wave of winning games and performing well. So I wouldn't, to be fair, like, it would surprise me if we dropped out of the FA Cup come Wednesday and next week we lost. It really wouldn't surprise me, because I think we're due it, maybe even overdue it. But that's my pessimistic view.
Maz, what was your perception of the game yesterday, like your performance of Maz?
We played better, but I don't know. Do you know what? I was reading reports on the games, and a lot of people are saying that it's just a typical performance after a midweek European game sort of thing. And I think Gary Neville mentioned on commentary, like, it's just a typical Wembley performance where the pitch is stretched out, and after a midweek game, it's what you'd expect. But I thought we could have played better. But then I suppose, I don't know. I was surprised by Newcastle's tactics, to be honest. It was almost like a flip, like the roles had reversed. We were Newcastle when they were United during the game, the way they were playing. But I got to give credit to our defence as well. I can't remember here making any. Well, I think he made one good save the whole game, and the rest was just routine. I think Varane and Martinez and Casemiro have to take a lot of credit for that. They look absolutely solid at the moment.
I have to applaud you, because you literally took the words out of my mouth. I said that yesterday in my head. I was like, they look the opposite teams. But anyway, we'll let CJ continue interrogating the United.
Oh, I mean, generally, this isn't even an interrogation. I'm intrigued to know, like, where you see yourselves going from now, because I need like a balanced opinion rather than kind of my own thoughts on this, because like you said, you are probably due a collapse at some stage. Personally, I think, and I'm not saying this to sound salty, you probably have had the easiest path to get to the cup final. If Newcastle had played a bit more negatively, they might have been able to get something out of that game. But then also, if they'd scored that chance, then you know, they've got the goal on the run of play, and then now you're having to chase the game to try and score again, right? So, again, you know, well done, because you did what you had to do. But I think it's a bit too soon to start with some of the things I've been reading. And again, obviously, you're not responsible for that, but that's just my two cents.
Fair point. Maz, you were saying something, sorry?
No, I think we'll see, just talking about where the United go from here. I think we're not going to win the league. We're not even talking about winning the league. I think if we go finish third, I don't think we can get second. If we finish third, have a good run in the Europa League, I don't see why we can't beat Betis, Real Betis, even though our record against Spanish teams is pretty awful. But I don't think we're expecting much from United this season now, apart from getting the Champions League and having a decent run at the Europa League. And I think that will be it. I think the next goal will be to win the Europa League. I'm not saying we're going to be title challengers this season, but it's about building for next season and start planning for next season. I'm just curious to know how much money we'll be spending in the transfer window with all this stuff hanging over the Glazers as well. So it's apparently reports coming out today that they're not going to sell anymore, and the share prices have dropped by 12.9% as a result today. So if they're still here in the summer, then I'm not too sure where we go behind the scenes, but on the pitch, we've got to mount a title challenge next season. But I don't think anything else will do.
And are we basing the title challenge talk on the money spent or the progress you've made this season?
It's got to be a bit of both, I suppose. Progress and money spent. We're going to need more money spending if you want to mount a title challenge. We already know this team isn't good enough. We need a striker. We're crying out for a striker. So, yeah, it's going to be actually a bit of both money spent and the progress from this season. You've got to build on progress. And to do that, you need players.
Okay. Thank you very much, Maz. Much appreciated for your insights. You too, Mr. Wick. Just going to flip this around quickly on Newcastle before we then move on to the quiz. What do we think happens next for Newcastle? Obviously, they've been taken over by the state-backed, for want of a better word. Do you think this changes any timelines for them and what they'd expect or want? Do you think this affects Eddie Howe's job? Not that, because he lost the final, he's no longer going to be there, But do you think that could potentially speed up the need to bring in somebody else? Because I think we can all agree it was quite obvious watching the game that for all the chances that Newcastle created, they just couldn't finish them. And, you know, like Saint-Maximin was playing well, but then there were times where he completely just looked like he'd never touched a football before. So I think, yeah, to me personally, the need for upgrades became quite apparent in the final, because it was almost like they'd got there and then could do everything apart from put the ball in the back of the net. But yeah, I'm intrigued to see, well, hear what everyone thinks potentially they could be up to next year.
Mr. Wick.
From my perspective, I think, like you said, it's like Newcastle missing a bit of polish. So, you know, they just need to upgrade a few more players. It's just whether, the powers that be at Newcastle want Eddie Howe to be in charge of that upgrade or managing the upgrade process. They just want like a tried and tested coach that, you know, has won things in the past, etc. I think if Newcastle won the game yesterday, it would have been harder for them to be like, oh, let's sack him and get someone new in. It depends really how ruthless they are. We haven't really seen what they're about. Are they Chelsea where, well, you haven't got Champions League in your first season, therefore you're out? Or are they like, you know, we think you're a good manager and we think you can grow to be the person that takes Newcastle to win the league eventually or win Champions Leagues, as I imagine what the ambition is. I think it'll be the former, where they'll probably sack him at some point and just be like, okay, now we're going to spend mega money with a guy that we trust more. I think he's a bit of a stopgap, but I kind of hope it's not the case. I hope they kind of back him, because I think he's done well. And I've been surprised about how well he's done.
Fair point. Yeah, probably.
Your thoughts?
Probably echo that. I would like to see him stay on, but do you trust him? I can probably see Leon's head shaking from here. Just like, do you trust him to spend the money? I'm pretty sure he's going to be like, no way. Yeah, just depends what he actually goes out to buy. It was pretty obvious yesterday they are lacking something in creativity. Saint-Maximin did like all the dancing, but didn't really come up with any sort of final ball, final pass. I mean, Wan-Bissaka basically just wrapped him up in the second half. So they're lacking something. I think Bruno G is like one of my favorite players. I'm really gutted we didn't get him, but he looks like someone you can build the team around in terms of quality and start to, you know, aim. I don't know, maybe you get like a Maddison in. Maybe you keep Callum Wilson. I would still keep Callum Wilson, but on the bench. He's not going to start next year. Like, you can't. And probably upgrade on Almiron. Like, he was on fire earlier this season, but I don't see what else he can do. Great squad player. Hopefully they make Europe. They're going to need, you know, all these players to come in and play at some point. So they've got a good foundation. I think they've exceeded expectations. And yeah, I think he's going to get another go next year with some financial backing this summer. I think they've tidied up the books. They've got in the good books of some of the main decision makers and the Premier League they needed to be at. You know, very Anglo-Saxon playing, so to say, very robust and nothing flashy, nothing crazy in terms of, you know, £150 million. Chelsea have taken over that sort of mantle. So they can quietly go about their business and buy like, you know, 40, £50 million players, Yuri Tillemans, probably James Maddison, start picking these guys off other teams within that sort of range. But yeah, that's kind of my 2 cents.
You did raise a very good point about the money that he spent before in the past, because at Bournemouth he made some absolute howlers and basically just kept Liverpool going for a couple of years. But I think there's probably a better team around him at Newcastle, which might curb in some of those instincts / actually help him out more as a manager. Yeah.
You just have to look at the chat and see Leon's reaction when I said, give an English manager all that money. There you go.
I know this is sad, Robert, because some of his buyers, Solanke, have been terrible. So, yeah, you know, the less we talk about how he just ended up being a region project for failed Liverpool players, the better. Right, should we move on to the quiz?
Let's do it.
Okay, so just to double check, there's Who Am I, which is worth 3 points, which becomes 2 points if you need a hint. Where's my brain going for this? If you need a hint, there's bang on the head, which is that just multiple choice, and you just have to guess which one it is, and that's 2 points. And there's sure false, which is one.
You got it almost. So we flipped it to true or false is 1 point. The guess who I am is, yeah, I think you're right. I don't know. It's in order, if I remember correctly.
Okay. So these questions have been provided by, I just want to make sure I get this right, the Footballing Brain on Twitter.
At Footy Brain. Shout.
At Footy Brain, which has been helpfully providing us with questions to use on a quiz. Please give me 2 seconds. I'm going to go and check some more which are in our DMs. But who'd like to go first?
We can give John Wick the guest privilege this time.
Okay, Mr. Wick, what would you like to choose?
Who am I?
Oh, okay. Straight in there. All right. Please hold. Okay. Oh, try to be nice. Okay. Can you name the player that has played with these four players? Vincent Kompany, Mortz Gamst-Pedersen, Oliver Kahn, and Almeron.
I am struggling with that one.
Would you like a hint?
I'll take a hint.
Okay. He's probably best known for his time at Blackburn Rovers. Is that a fair hint, Kush, do you feel? Like, in terms of how you give hints?
Yeah. Probably say where his most prominent career or noticeable performance.
Yeah. He's most known for his time at Blackburn Rovers. This would be particularly between the years of 2007 to 2009, but he also went back to Blackburn Rovers on loan in 2011.
What are the players he played with again?
Is Craig Bellamy?
No, that's not right. The players were Vincent Kompany, Mortz Gamst-Pedersen, Oliver Kahn, and Almeron.
As in Miguel Almeron.
Yeah, Almeron, sorry.
Who did you guess, John?
I said Craig Bellamy,
That's incorrect. The answer is Roque Santa Cruz.
I knew it. God damn. When did Almeron play with him?
Please hold. I need to bring up that. I am not sure.
Paraguay national team, obviously. Fucking hell. Duh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
That was hard, man.
Some madness.
Sorry, Mr. Wick. I'm not trying to ruin you out here. I promise. Kush, what would you like to do? What's your poison?
Let's go with multiple choice.
Okay. 2 sec.
Please hold. Your call is being connected. Where did everyone go?
I wish I knew. You said multiple choice, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or what is the other, what's it called? Categories. What do you have?
There's bang on the head. Okay, cool. I'm just looking at the DMs now. Yeah. Oh, that's an easy one. He'd know that one. Okay. You'll know. Okay. Wayne Rooney. Oh, wait. This is bang on the head, right?
Which you tell me, mate. What's the category? You're the quiz master.
No, I'm just trying to work out these questions. Okay. I'm going to give you a true or false, and I'm going to find multiple choice in the meantime.
Fine.
Okay. Okay. So, true or false. Wayne Rooney scored more goals for Everton than he did for DC United.
That is more goals for Everton than he did at DC United. I think that's true.
Correct. He scored 25 goals for Everton across his two jobs there. Jobs? Stints there. And scored 23 goals for DC United.
If you look at the last, I haven't opened it, but the last sort of conversation I had with the Footy Brain on the DMs, the last message he sent, like a group of them, was the ones we haven't used yet.
Yeah, that's where I got this one from. But also, based on what we were talking about in the last podcast, that is the answer for one of the questions. So that's too obvious.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, so 1 point. John is next.
Okay, bang on the head.
All right. Who won the Puskas Award in the for the 2014 World Cup? Well, the goal they scored in the 2014 World Cup in the round of 16.
Was it James Rodriguez?
Mm-hmm. I made that too obvious. That's correct. Yeah, that's right. Chest turn volley off the crossbar and then against Uruguay.
Do you remember those crickets that were like flying, the locusts? That was insane. Like those fucking insects were massive. That's what I remember during the game for some reason. I'll do bang on the head again as well, mate.
Yeah, bang on the head. I'm not giving you know that. You're an Arsenal fan. Please hold.
Check his actual profile. He'll have quite a few.
Yeah, I'm looking on there. I'm looking on there now. Don't worry. Okay. Due to the dates that the finals are played, one club has held both the Europa League and Champions League trophy at the same time. Who and... Yeah, I'm just going to say, who was this? Not when. When's too hard. But who, which team was this?
Won the Champions... They held the Champions League and Europa League at the same time.
Europa League, same time.
Oh, it has to be Chelsea, surely.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Due to a change in competition dates, because the final of the Champions League was played a week after the Europa League final, Chelsea held both the Champions and Europa League trophy simultaneously, the only side to ever do so for a total of 7 days in 2013.
I remember that because I was hurt. That was Unai Emery, wasn't it? The final when they won it against us, the Europa. Yeah, that's why I remember that. Fucking assholes.
Yes. Wait, was it 20? No, it couldn't have been 20. No, 2013. That, no, it would have been like 2018, 2019.
Yeah, and then they won in 2020 the Champions League with Tuchel.
Yeah, but this was ages ago. This is 2013, it says.
What? That's mad.
Apparently, anyway. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. Okay, so, Mr. Wick, what do I have left for you?
I think it's true or false.
We did Who Am I? Is it true or false?
Yeah.
Okay. Did Nicolas Anelka play for five Premier League teams or not? True or false?
Ooh, that's a great question.
That's tough, man.
I'm going to say no. I feel like it might be like four.
You're correct, but actually it was more. So he was at Arsenal, then obviously went to Madrid and he was at loan at Liverpool in 2001, 2002. Then he was at City, then Bolton Wanderers, then Chelsea, and then West Brom Albion.
I'm not remembering Matt Chelsea at all.
He had a good season. I think they won the Champions League that time. Didn't they play in the final against United when they lost?
Yeah, actually, might have missed a penalty.
Yeah.
That would have been 2008 that season, or 2009, because I remember watching that final laughing when John Terry flipped.
That was lovely.
That was great. Okay, so just to confirm, Mr. Wicks got this one correct, and that was 1 point. And then it was Who Am I? Have I asked you another one?
No, I got bang on the head. And then I got...
you got bang on the head. Okay.
So I got 4 points, I think.
Bang on the head would have been two. So that's three.
Oh, okay, fair.
And then, Kush, you got...
False.
True or false.
And then bang on the head.
So just to win, I guess.
Yeah, it's a draw at the moment.
And this is Who Am I, is it?
Who Am I? Oh.
For fuck's sake. All right, let's go.
All right. Oh, no, that's too easy. Okay. Can you name the player who has played with these four players? Oh, no, you'll know that one. Please, I'll just scroll them back up. Eto, Cannavaro, Yap Stam, and Didier Drogba.
Oh, my God. Eto, Cannavaro, Yap Stam, and Drogba.
Drogba.
Eto, Cannavaro. Eto, Cannavaro. Drogba and Yap Stam.
Yep, Eto Cannavaro, Yap Stam, and Drogba.
Can I get a hint? So where was he best? Like, known.
He was... Oh, this is hard.
Tell me, mate.
Okay, he's probably most well-known for his stint at Inter Milan.
Fucking hell. Eto, Cannavaro, Didier Drogba, and Yap Stam.
He won a lot when he was at Inter.
The only person I can, the like, only person I can think of is like, won a lot at Inter. The only person I can think of is Zanetti or Van der Meyde because of Jaap Stam being Dutch. But other than that, I can't think of anyone else.
Trust me, you know this. Think of Mourinho and like
Materazzi.
No,
I can't. Well, that's three guesses, man. I can't. That's too much.
It was Wesley Sneijder. Because Wesley Sneijder.
That I knew he was Dutch as well. I was like, who the hell could be Dutch and like played at Inter?
Because
only Van der Meyde.
I mean, like to me, he's more famous for what he did at Inter than what he did at Madrid. So I thought if I said it was at Madrid, then that wouldn't have helped you all.
Yeah,
because he was at Madrid, but he didn't really do much. So yeah.
That was,
does this mean this is a draw?
Yeah, it's a draw. You might need to, you might need to do a sudden death, mate.
Okay, okay. Hang on. Streets are asking for more questions.
It's a tiebreaker, bro. Probably might be easier to do another Who Am I and get like it's timed or whoever guesses first.
Yeah, I was going to do a Who Am I and just see who was going to get it first. Okay, here we go.
Leon said Cambiasso as a guest. Fucking hell. Thanks for coming with that one, mate. Late.
It's good for you to know you didn't up to that answer. Okay. Can you name the player that has played with these four players? My man, Timo Werner. David Alaba, Sadio Mane, and Bruno Fernandes.
Timo Werner, Bruno Fernandes.
Sadio Mane, and David Alaba.
Sadio Mane.
Shouts out to the footballing brain.
Sadio Mane, Timo Werner, Bruno Fernandes.
If you both agree to a hint, I'll fling one out.
Should we go for a hint, John?
Yeah. I'm lost.
Go for it.
Okay.
Dial a friend. Leon, are you the friend?
okay, I'm trying to think. How obvious would this make if I say this? Yeah, if I get, there's no choice. He's Austrian.
What the fuck? Sabitzer.
Yes, correct.
Really? Because he played at RB Leipzig or whatever with Sadio Mane then played Bruno, obviously, now. Who was the other two, please?
And was at Munich to play with Alaba.
And he's Austrian.
And he would have been Leipzig with Mane. And I'm guessing as well, either Salzburg or Leipzig to play Werner as well.
And Alaba's Austrian.
He's one of the... Wait, say that again, sorry?
Alaba's Austrian as well.
Ah. Yeah.
All right, bro. Well done.
Well, actually, I think he would have been at Thingy anyway. Wow.
Probably. Both.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because isn't David... Yeah, he's Austrian, yeah. Well, thank you very much for being such good sports and putting up with my awkward quiz master stills.
Perfect, mate. Thanks for hosting. And...
That's all right.
Get this produced and out there. Thanks, John. And to the,
thanks, John. To the thanks, audience, everyone who listened in.
Audience, Cambiasso, Leon. Appreciate it. Take care, mate.
In a bit. Take care.
Thanks, EJ.
Vigo's having to operate even more attackingly now. He really hits that one. Oh, that is just sensational from Luis Vigo.
Screamer!